All right. I will call us to order for July 6th, 2022 Clean Water Commission meeting, starting with the roll call. Brendan Addis, present. Matt?
Present.
Michelle, currently absent, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
She may try to attend by phone, but I haven't seen her try to get on yet.
All right. Roger?
I'm here.
Jeff?
Present.
Marie?
Here.
Sandra?
Here.
Josh?
Here.
Bob?
Present.
All right. And I would normally do introductions. I know we have an item for Brent here, so Brent, you can do a brief introduction if you'd like, since we got you all on camera there, and then we'll jump into the long version in a little bit.
Okay, I'm Brent Davis. I am the interim Clean Water Division Manager, and more to follow.
Right on. Thanks for coming this evening. Nice to have you. Next is the approval of the meeting minutes from May 5th. If folks have had a time to look through those, I went through doing the content. I didn't do detailed spelling and punctuation review, but it looked good on the content.
Alice, I have one thing that I noticed on towards the bottom of page 3 under the outreach and education group. It lists mm-hmm. me as the chair and Marie as the chair.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Sorry about that. Thank you for catching that. I will make that change.
Any other amendments?
Unless Sandra, I didn't see anything.
Okay. Unless anybody would like any other time, I'll make a motion to approve as amended.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Any public comments submitted?
Yep. No public comments were submitted through video or email or voice. And I checked again, even though the cutoff is at noon, I checked again at 5.
Thank you. All right. Well, circling back to Brent and the new interim manager. So thanks for coming this evening. I don't know whether to apologize or congratulate you on your interim position. Tell us more.
All right. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say at this point, but I'm actually a manager in the community development department. I manage the wetland and habitat review program. And I'm also the shoreline administrator. So that's the background that I come from. You know, as far as this program, I'm really still getting oriented. I took this on and I had a lot of travel planned for this month. So I haven't really had time to really dig into things yet. So, but I'm pleased to meet you all. And I don't know how long we'll be working together. I understand that recruitment's already started for a permanent replacement, but in today's climate, we don't know how long that process could take. So anyway, you know, if you have questions for me, I'd be happy to take a stab at them. But, you know, as far as the clean water program goes, I'm still at the very bottom of the learning curve.
I was just going to say thank you for stepping into that and taking it on. It's nice for us having a contact point over there and somebody to attend the meetings and talk to when questions do come up. And much appreciated from that end.
Yep. And I think it's a great opportunity as well. So it's, you know, it's something different for me. And I mean, I've I have a lot of familiarity with a lot of the work the program does just because I've interacted with it a lot over the years. And I've done some stormwater work prior to my time here at the county, but there's a lot of moving parts to this program, so it's going to be interesting.
We'll enjoy the ride.
How long have you been with the county?
I've been with the county 23 years.
Oh.
So I'm pretty much a lifer at this point.
Have you always focused on the kind of habitat? You're saying habitat and wetland?
Yeah, I started as a wetland biologist. And then I did a period of time in the environmental services days managing that program as well as the environmental permitting program that does all the permitting work for public works, capital projects. And then when that department was dissolved, I was put back in community development.
I have my own background in restoration, so I always like being out on the ground in the habitat areas. Worked a lot with Julie Christensen. Well, if there are no other questions, Brent, are you along for the ride this evening, or are you trying
yes,
to explore
I am.
That?
No, right. I'll stick around.
Good deal. All right. Well, Alice, I will pass it over to you. It looks like you're taking on the education and outreach report this evening.
Yes, as much as I can remember and know, because unfortunately, or good for Eric, but bad for me, he went on vacation and I didn't get a list of everything he's working on. So he's got a lot going on, especially with the doing the new poop counts at the new location, and they're just starting that up and working with everybody, and they are applying a lot of the lessons learned from the last the trial that was last year, and putting it towards the new behavioral change for program for the actual permit requirement this year. Obviously, you've seen the story map. He did quite a bit with that, getting that done, as well as getting the there was a new part of it that he added in there after he did the presentation for you guys that has the fixed a lot of the glitches, but also had a information on how to do and use the story map, as well as quite a bit with the fixing some of the glitches and making it easier to use, and some more information down the middle section about the different areas and what things mean. And that seems to be, we've gotten a lot of feedback from it, a lot of feedback. It actually was in the employee newsletter that we have that goes out, and a lot of people emailed and let him know that it was really good. And I think it went out also, I think there was an article potentially in the Columbian. I think it wasn't, or maybe it was the Advocate. I can't remember now which one, in early June. He's also been working on the student video contest, and that is moving along. They should be getting everything ready. They had some challenges in that this year they really didn't have very many high schoolers participate, and so they had a lot of younger middle schoolers participate, and therefore the quality may not be as good as it was last year. And so they were looking at a lot of different ways of how to change that and how to work on it. He's been doing quite a bit with the Columbia River Coalition, the group that does the information with going back with the Oregon group, and buying media information with that, as well as they're getting ready to do quite a bit of the campaign on the Follow the Drops, connect the drops Follow the River campaign, and they'll be sending out a lot more information about that here fairly shortly. There has also been, there was one other thing that was like a big thing that he's been working a lot on. He's been doing quite a bit. They upgraded our website for the county, and so he's had to learn Drupal 9 and update everything with ours. And one of the things that we're working on as a division is making sure that we are consistent across the board. And so we've been working on updating and making sure that all the links are correct and all of the the information about making sure that because there's a lot, we have a lot of information and it's so dense that sometimes when you drill down into there's old information in there that isn't, they may have the 19 or I was going to say the 15 permit, the 2015 permit instead of the recent one. So there's a lot of those kind of things, or 14 permit. So there's a lot of those kind of things that are going on. So we are working diligently on getting that up to date. He's working a lot also with the rest of the communications division with the rest of the outreach people that are up there. I think in general, that's it. There's a lot going on. We're working on the Columbia, Vancouver Lake with the Lower Columbia Estuary Partners. I think there's a couple other exciting things, but I will let him tell you in August, because there'll still be things that he's working on that are going to be coming to fruition later this fall. But yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Per usual.
Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely giving it just a thumbnail of what he's got going on.
Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to the staff liaison report, any questions anybody had from the education outreach report? Not seeing any, I'd say just roll into staff liaison report, Alice.
Okay, well, just the biggest news, I guess, is I think it was probably right after Memorial Day. Justin notified staff that his last day would be July 10th, and that it was due to family reasons, and he's staying in the area, didn't have any at the time he didn't have any plans, but I think he's already has some different employment opportunities, but I think he was looking forward to being able to use this summer for paternity time to spend time with Connor and really take advantage of that opportunity while it's here. I'm still in contact with him on a regular basis. I got my Connor picture today. He's adorable, as always. Let me see if I can show you a picture of him. So there's Connor. So as of this morning, he's doing great. And wish him the well. And I told him that he better make sure that he is looking for the notices coming. If there's any openings for the commission, I expected to see his application in, or Michelle's. So we'll see where it goes, but they're sticking around. With that, the new county engineer, Brian Vincent, I think he was formally approved by the council back in May. He retired June 30th. And so right now we don't have anybody in place to actually replace him. So they're working diligently on getting somebody in place right now with that. So projects that have already been approved by either Rob Klug or or by Brian are moving forward. Ones that are in the future that have not been signed off by county engineer in regards to basically roads and anything to do with that is on hold right now. And we'll be moving forward with that. There are a lot of there's a lot of looking at policies and procedures and how are we doing things differently and how can we improve things. And so that's one of the it's a new there's a lot of new staff, and so there's a lot of opportunities for evaluating how we are doing things and potentially ways of doing things differently in the future, as well as what's working, what's not, and how, and making sure that across the board there are policies and procedures in place that are cohesive and coherent and match up with everything. And that's one of the things that we actually have a number of staff that are working on. And that was one of the things Justin had been initially working on, and we had gotten that sent up. We have a new our finance manager was hired earlier this spring. Her name is Sherry Villafane, and she's also been noted as she's been announced as our new deputy director. And she brings a lot of information and a lot of background, not a lot of government work, if I remember correctly, but has done a lot with it. And my interactions with her have been really, really positive and really, really helpful. So that's been really nice to see. And she comes in with a lot of experience that I think we're really going to enjoy. And, creating a lot of communication aspects. Let's see. We don't have anybody yet. No news yet on hiring a replacement for Sabra, our admin for clean water yet. Hopefully we'll be getting somebody new. I've been covering as much and helping Jennifer as much as I can, but there's a lot of things that just the overlap is not there. So it's been pretty busy, and of course it's crazy. It's getting into the summertime, and this is of course the really super busy, crazy time of the year for us on top of the normal busy, crazy, especially for monitoring. However, one of the really positive, amazing, awesome, good things that has come out of this is that, Justin, before he left, was able to get approval for hiring a new temporary worker to help the monitoring crew out. So James Morrill just started last week, actually. So that's really exciting, and he will be helping out quite a bit in the field because of all the safety protocols that we have in place. That'll be, and there's just so much that we have to do that'll be there. And then they are working on they've got this budget change requests in for both the fall supplemental as well as for the 2023 budget, and we'll be working towards getting that ready and for the Eva and the rest of the finance team to create the, you know, department public works public budget and submit it up to the county manager and eventually to the council for approval. We'll see where it goes. I'm not quite sure yet because it's still just very preliminary, but I know Justin and Andrea were working really hard on that, and so I think we're definitely in good hands with that. Let's see. Working on one of the things that I've been working on is helping Rod with his Mill 2 report on they've done some studies with that, and we're getting that ready to send out. And then I've also been working on the document retention policy and finding out where everything, all the different types of documents we have and all the different, basically everything we have and every type of thing we have in every format we have and in every location we have. And then we are developing a retention schedule to then get rid of the old stuff. And what do we need? What can stay? What has to, you know, we have to keep forever? What do we get rid of after 6 years? What do we get rid of, you know, right away? What's transitory? What's not? And then also, you know, both hard copy and electronic, cloud, everything. So there's a lot there. And, you know, and even like USB sticks and things like that. So there's a lot, that we are working on with that. Other than that, I know Scott, Melville, our code enforcement has had a lot. We had a lot of, calls coming in, for issues with that, as well as Bob Patterson's had quite a bit with, RVs, and, working with public health and with that, with RVs, doing illegal discharges, as well as, just regular business, pollution prevention aspects of that. And we'll be getting ready to do some of our, final billing, because of course the state budget just ended. And so all of our state grants and a lot of our state work this month, has to be billed by the end of the month. So there'll be a lot of, between Andrea and myself and a number of the other people, will be doing quite a bit of billing, going out in the next little bit, next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. I think that's about it. There's of course lots of other things going on. Jeff's of course really busy with all of the, infrastructure, and Carrie and Rich are running around with their hair on fire with all of the inspections for the, private stormwater facilities. In fact, I just had one today where they were, somebody had called in and wanting to know, you know, hey, the HOA, you know, this private stormwater facility next to my house, it says it's owned by the HOA, and the property that's listed on the HOA is my house. I'm not in charge of the HOA. Can you guys come out and clean out the blackberries in the private stormwater facility? So, the guys had to talk with her and help start that conversation with them. So, a lot of educational opportunities out there for the public, to work on. So, that's kind of where right now we're at, working on also, I guess, the LSEP, the Lower Columbia Estuary Partnership. We're doing the last, contract for that for this year coming up for, doing education outreach to the elementary school students. I think it's fourth grade, where they do quite a bit of training inside the classroom, as well as going out and doing field trips around Lake Vancouver. And that is something that's a partnership that we do with the port and the city of Vancouver. And, you know, even though, and we do quite a bit with that as well. And this is part of, you know, the education outreach. Even though technically it's in the city of Vancouver's area, the lake is, but there's so much that we impact in the kids that are living around that. Potentially live up in the watershed area. And there's a lot of people come from all, they bring in schools from all over. So it does actually have a really good nexus. And so, it's something that we are continuing to do. I think we're about into 10 years worth with this. And I think that is really about everything, that, just kind of on a very broad level of everything we've got going on. Anybody have any questions?
I was going to ask, this, you maybe were planning on bringing this up later, but any conversation that's happened about, in-person meetings, anything with the policy on that at this point?
Sure. Actually. Oh, sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. That was one of the things, that Roger had asked about. I have about potentially having in-person meetings. Right now the county is doing hybrid. We are currently looking, I've run it, through legal right now, and, the county, manager and council staff. And as of right now, there shouldn't be any legal reason why we couldn't do it. As long as we follow the correct procedures, we probably can. There is some issues that potentially with safety protocols for making sure that there is an online approach availability for any staff who may not want to feel safe in an enclosed and in, even if it's outside. I mean, that really only will work potentially for September, because it'll be cold and dark in November and January, and potentially October for our meeting in October. So we'll have to look at that and see with the logistics. Right now, we'll see what happens with when we get closer with how things are working, because with the CDC last week, having 15 more counties go recommend to go back to masking up in person. We're still, Clark County and Cowlitz are still in the moderate range. We're not in the high range yet. So we haven't hit the hospitalization or the level of people getting sick per 100,000, but we are at the moderate, and I know we have had a number of staff in public works who have in the last month or so gotten COVID. So I know that there is a big concern there. So we'll see how things go. It is something I'm definitely working on. I think it's something that would be very beneficial for us. I'm personally a little concerned about having COVID or getting COVID. So I do have that issue, but we can definitely work through that. And that's something that potentially is there. The other aspect I need to make sure that we do is make sure that we have good records. And so making sure I'm able to record it. And if we're outside, making sure that I can capture with people being 6 feet apart or whatever, being able to capture the audio video or the audio at least, may be a little challenging, but I'm definitely open for options and open for looking at things. I know for the October meeting, I have a number of people lined up already to present who will probably need audio video presentation kind of things. So we'll see on that too. But, you know, it seems like everything changes every month. So I've learned to temper my enthusiasm one way or the other on anything, and just kind of plan for both ways. And that's something Roger and I actually, he gave me some good ideas. If you know of any good ideas of locations that are safe and would be something we can do, because I know obviously downtown, in my head I was envisioning standing there in the courtyard, and I was like, I don't want to stand in the courtyard.
Can I interrupt real quick, Alice, and ask a clarifying question? I'm getting the impression here that you're talking about doing meetings outside and then hybriding that. Is there no consideration for having an inside meeting for those who want to attend in person and then hybriding it with a virtual component?
That is something I've got to figure out, the logistics of making that happen. So that is one of that is something potentially that may work. But I've got to figure out the logistics of that. And then making sure that if I have a quorum that's together, to make sure that I've got that, in case a big group met ahead of time. So, I'm trying to figure out the best logistics on all of it and what we can do, and find out from you, from all of you, I'd like direction. And if you're not comfortable saying it here and in this forum, please let me know individually what your preferences are. And then I can go from there. Cause right now the county still hasn't changed their policy on a lot of things, of what we can, you know, some people can do, but they've changed some of it. So it's kind of in a state of flux right now. I know they're opening things up for meetings, but we have limits and things like that. So I'm looking at all options. So, and how I can logistically make it work, and keep everybody safe. Because the last thing I don't want is somebody to get sick.
Yeah. I'll just say long term, I think having the ability to do hybrid, virtual, and in person is a benefit. And it's nice if a lot of people are able to do that. So as we're exploring options, I think that's a good thing to have in our back pocket anyways.
Yes, I do too.
And Alice, I've been doing those hybrid meetings for probably 2 years.
Okay, good.
Because our office doors have been open. We use Teams a lot or GoToMeetings, but you can share your screen and then you can see the people that are virtual. They can see your screen and they can see all the other attendees, and you can record that as well. So there's a couple of different, I don't know if WebEx does it because we don't really use that one, but most of the other software, you can do that.
Yes. And they've had, and that's one of the things I'm going to explore since we had been told that we had to use WebEx for all outward facing public meetings. But I've just heard, in fact, just today, that there are other groups in the county that are doing meetings, public meetings, that are through Teams. So I'm going to look into it and see what I can do. But that's really good. I'll probably talk with you about that, Marie. And Roger, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say that I think Camus would be more than happy to cooperate if you wanted to use the lodge or one of the other facilities that they have. They've been very open to this kind of thing before, so and they helped us out a lot when we had some training right in the middle of COVID, for that matter. So I don't know. I'll let you go with this, and if you need me to talk to the city, I'll be more than happy to.
Thank you. Okay. I'll definitely look into it. One of my challenges is I will actually be out of the office from July 20th through most likely the 1st. That's a Monday, and I may or may not be here for that. Technically, I have it off right now, but depending on how I'm on vacation and I fly back in the night before, so I may potentially be able to, you know, depending on how I feel, I may work Monday, but technically right now I have it off. So I do have about a week and a half there of where I am not going to be in the office. So I'm going to work on it for the next little bit, and then I will work on it again first part of August, which by then we'll know more with where we are at with COVID numbers and policies and things like that too. So,
Well, this is kind of a random question, but just since you said that, you're leaving when?
Wednesday the 20th.
Okay. I had a note for getting any presentation through for that historical group on the 3rd. Do you need me to get that to you before you leave town?
Yes, I would prefer if we did, because that way, if there's any changes or there's any issues, I can make sure that they have it. And if they have any questions, or we can work about on that offline also.
Okay.
Whether or not I would like to get something to them if we can. And then if they have anything that they want to change, just CC me on it.
Okay. I'll make a note for that. Thank you.
So.
Anything else on staff liaison report? Updates or questions from the board?
And then obviously, I think almost everybody was there for the annual report to council that went really, really well. They seemed to really like it. Thank you again, Brendan, for your excellent job of presenting it, and for everybody who was there to help support it.
Thank you.
Anybody have any talking points or anything else with that regarding your takeaways from the presentation? I know it was a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I was like replaying in my head here what the specifics of it was, but there was a comment at one point from one of the counselors, and this has been the same in the past, where, you know, and I respectfully understand, I mean, if you're in a counselor position, there's a lot of topics you are paying attention to for a whole community. But there are times when there's questions or statements kind of posed that highlight sometimes a brief understanding of what's happening in the clean water area and some of it. And it would be great sometimes to think about, you know, some type of presentation or, you know, concise, and it's not just like the flyby, like, yeah, here's what we're doing, but is a little bit more informational, educational. But you know, I also know that time is very precious. So I can think of what the specifics of that were escaping me right now. But I remember that crossing my mind at one point.
Something about lakes.
Yeah, there was some stuff about lake. I think, you know, it was kind of, there were questions really about timelines of things that were progressing that were actually happening, you know, and that were happening, you know, we're in motion, and that's just kind of, you know, asking to see where we're at with it, which is totally understandable. But no, I felt it was good. I appreciated the feedback, and it was also nice having Justin there to pass the microphone back and forth. If nothing else on the liaison report, I'll move into working group updates. And the first point I see is the bylaws updates, which I believe you probably have info on, Alice.
Or Marie, do you want to?
Oh, sure. Give you a break. So Alice and I met in June, I think. No. Yeah, June. And we went through and we did some edits, and we need to look at it one more time, and then we can send out our edits to the group. It's pretty much, we looked at some other commissions to see what they were doing. Let's go over some highlights. When this we've kind of talked about in the group, not really calling out three work groups with specific names, so they could be a little more flexible. But then just saying that they will have their own mission and objectives to accomplish. And then scroll through. Yeah, that's kind of what we talked about. There's no huge changes, so.
I know there was a mention, and this is again on the agenda tonight, of the unfinished business with DEI topics and incorporating that into the mission. And if we had looked at putting some language in there to that effect as well.
Yes, we did talk about that a little bit with those examples. We also talked about it in our group, which is the next topic. As far as the recruitment.
We may also, it may be something that might be beneficial if it's, you know, in regard to Tanya Settle's presentation, that we may want to look at putting something in or going back and looking at the mission and vision, and maybe potentially having something in there. Because the vision is Clark County with a self-sustaining and healthy watersheds that benefit the county's human communities, wildlife, and environment. And then the mission is to collaborate with Clark County's residents, government entities, businesses, and nonprofit organizations to enhance water quality, improve flow, and protect the ecological integrity of our watersheds. I don't know if that's something that the commission would like to come back to and look at expanding that at all or not. because I know that was a key aspect of the conversation with Tanya and moving forward was to how to incorporate diversity, equity, and inclusion and environmental justice as part of the Clean Water Commission's vision and mission. And it can be a topic for another time, too.
My personal take on that question would be looking at trying to include a statement somewhere within our bylaws or our working groups, since that's something that we're currently looking at. I feel like we did a lot of work on the mission and vision. I just got it hammered out recently. Happy to leave that. I mean, I find that the language in it should be intuitively inclusive. It is not exclusive. So elaborating on it more in the working group topics that we're trying to hammer out right now, I think would be a good focus, since that's already on the board for review.
Yeah, I agree. We could put a paragraph in there on the bylaws since we're working on it now. You know, just that we're striving towards the being inclusive and diverse. And
I do really think, and I'm interested, you know, in a moment here, I know, Marie, this is the next topic you were going to get to. I really think a lot of it, too, comes in with our, you know, recruitment and engagement. So that's where I like to see it in action.
Okay.
I have one question for the group that kind of dovetails in with part of the in-person that a conversation I had recently about this was that our meeting times are January, March, May, July, September, and November, and starting at 6:30. Would anybody want to meet at, you know, instead of the first Wednesday of the month, a different Wednesday of the month, so you're not banging up against the 4th of July and New Year's and then Christmas, and or in the evening and having something during the day, during the work day? I know that those have been topics that have been brought up in the past. So while Marie and I are working on this, because that is something that is part of our bylaws.
I've become somewhat indifferently used to the schedule as is, and I find the evenings a lot easier for myself. Just with having a kid, it's difficult to do work, and it's like the 6:30 to 8:30 I know can be a drag on a weekday, but that's convenient for me. Like I said, though, I'm kind of an old dog on this one, so I've gotten used to it.
Change would be a little bit difficult for all of us, I think. We've gotten used to this, and we've made time for it. I think talking about changing times would throw everything into a cocked hat for a while.
Would anyone consider meeting at 6 instead of 6:30?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think the earlier time. Oh, go ahead.
Well, then, because if Alice is at the office, then she does, you know, there's less time she has to hang out and get ready.
I think
and also when I was doing the history, this commission started meeting monthly. I'm not sure when they changed to bi-monthly. I couldn't find that.
Andrea, you had a comment.
Andrea?
Yeah, I was just going to say that moving the time earlier, if they are remaining as hybrid or online, is fine. We might run into a challenge recruiting if someone works in Portland and has to try to get home by 6 or get to a meeting by 6. And so I think that not having to travel to downtown to get to a meeting has kind of maybe given us the idea that we could move it up earlier. For me, 5 o'clock would be great for an online meeting, right? But to try to get downtown 6 or 6:30, so I think that it is a little bit tempered with what we see as the long-term strategy for meetings, whether that will continue to be hybrid permanently or if we are returning to in-person. And I think the challenge then is just how do we navigate members that have families or commute issues.
All good points. Yeah, unless anybody's running into a big conflict with it, I'm fine keeping it as I agree with Roger. You know, we all kind of signed up for it.
And monthly versus bi-monthly?
My personal take on that would be if we start getting a little bit more meat and potatoes of work under us from meeting monthly.
I think a conversation about attendance then has to become, right? Because for those of us with travel schedules, monthly becomes a bit of a challenge.
I've also felt that, and this might be the adjustment too, Marie, I don't know what the history of this is, but the working groups, if the working groups are able to meet more and engaging on stuff where there's action, then the every other month ends up being more of the update, and that works. I feel like our working groups have not been meeting that much, so my personal take would be if our working groups could put the attention to meeting more regularly, then that would be the first goal.
A really good point because our working group has been meeting monthly, and so as I sort of was thinking about that monthly, it's like there is a monthly meeting essentially. So I do like the idea of emphasizing the effort through the working groups as the interim month opportunity.
Okay, good points. Let me jump in with our engagement since we're kind of heading that way.
Please do.
So some of our comments, well, we started just going through training packets so people had more resources. So they would know if they wanted to be commissioner, they'd have some resources of what we do. And then getting on board a lot quicker because over time we found from comments that sometimes it takes as much as a year before you really get your feet wet and you feel engaged with the group. And with COVID, that's really made that a bigger issue because we're just looking at faces and not really engaging in a personal level. Another thing with the groups is that you get to know your group, but you don't really get to know the whole commission. So we were brainstorming some ideas how to engage people more. Roger had some really good ideas with more activities together, meeting outside when we can, getting some educational trips, maybe, you know, getting a presentation on the ground. And then maybe having roundtables at these meetings. And everyone can maybe talk, not everyone at the same meeting, we have a big agenda, but have someone have opportunity to say what they've been participating in with their volunteer groups on the side, anything that deals with clean water, maybe some article that they've read and they want to share, anything to get the group a little more a unit instead of sitting here with, you know, everyone on mute on these screens. Really tough. And then Matt had a really good idea with the training packets. Some of the other boards that he's been on in commissions, they actually give you a big training packet. You have training plans. So that's kind of what we're working on. We're putting a binder together with what we've done with projects, the presentations, the different partnerships that you can join, some definitions of the technical terms that we use for the binders. And I'm going through my notes here. Going back to the working groups, some goals that are more tangible. Because I think we've been kind of, you know, look, our group, we tried to do the Salmon Safe, you know, we met with parks, you know, they didn't really get on board, and then we're not really doing much and we don't feel engaged. It's really hard to keep moving forward if you don't have some definable goals. And then we talked about having a goals as a commission. Maybe spelled out a little more so that you can work as a group, whether we're doing some, like we did the strategic plan, we had a whiteboard and we just kind of brainstormed together. I think that's a little more engaging. Matt, did you want to add anything?
No, thanks, Maria. I think that covers it quite well. Roger, did you have something?
I was only going to say that basically I have never met you guys in person. And sitting down in a round table and having a real conversation, I think would be invigorating for what we're all doing. Because I know I have water quality projects going, and probably all the rest of you do, but I don't have the foggiest notion what those are. I really don't know where all the county people are working and what they're engaging in. And all of that detail makes this operation a heck of a lot more engaging. And in 6 months, I've been engaged in my own work that I've been doing, but there hasn't been any engagement as far as the commission goes. And I don't mean that as a criticism, but that's what COVID has done to us, I think. Personally, I would like to see a sit-down discussion, almost a workshop, to put what we're doing together again, if you will. Maybe even doing it even more than a three-hour thing, so you could sit down and run it as a some kind of where you had presentations and you have discussions and you really took a look at what the county was doing as far as clean water goes, and the projects that were going on at simultaneously that we don't know anything about. I think I said that too well, but anyway.
Roger, can I just ask, are you talking about to sharing what we're working on, or you're mentioning like what the county's working on when we're looking at it more like what is the entity of the county working on, or each of us individually? Like, I know you're engaged in a lot of projects in various volunteer levels and professional levels, and would that be part of something more elaborate? Like, I know you do that, but the details, I know like Lacamas Lake is definitely in your bailiwick. So it'd be nice to hear more about that. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Is each of us sharing a little bit more of our
That's correct.
Personal engagements?
And the problems you run into in that, we're working cross jurisdiction. We've got Vancouver, we've got the county, and we've got, the city of Camas. And in, you get different levels of that connection, and they have trouble discussing things with each other. They're just, you know, it's inbred into people to talk to their own kind or their own type, and getting that cross jurisdiction connection when it's all one watershed or one river that you're dealing with is difficult. Really is. I mean, I can say that from a couple of years of experience doing that very thing. So, yeah. And I just have one example, and we come from all over the county, and we all are dealing in some fashion with what's going on in water. I mean, when we had a training back on the 1st of April, we had Vancouver Lake come to visit us, and they have many of the same problems, but a lot of their own problems that we don't have, and vice versa. And it was extraordinarily interesting from a clean water standpoint to hear what they had to say and what they were doing about it, and the political connections that they had that were helping and sometimes not helping too much to get the job done. And so when we could have those conversations across the county about what is happening in clean water, I think this whole process would be a hell of a lot more, excuse me, dynamic.
Those are good points. I definitely agree with you that the movement to talking to everybody in little celebrity squares has not helped.
And we also talked about the diversity and how do you recruit diversity. Right now we kind of reach out for people that have some kind of water background or science background, which is great. But that's not inclusive as far as the whole community. You know, we have had people on the board that are just interested in being volunteers for something to do with the environment. So they land in our group with really no kind of background, but willing to learn. So you want to include people that have that enthusiasm to have some diversity. And I did see the municipal research group out of for Washington State. They had a webinar for diversity in boards, which I missed. But I'd be curious to see how they, you know, what they suggest for getting people to get more involved in your, you know, advisory boards and groups.
Who did you say it was that did that?
It was the MRSC. Had one. Which is the Human Interest Research Center.
I wonder if that's something that's recorded.
I can look into it. So it kind of be almost be like, because we haven't, no one attends our meetings from the public, you know, how do we get the word out there? Because I'm sure people would get really excited about what we're doing or what clean water does. So that's kind of a PR thing.
Yeah, and actively engaging that. I know I'm personally guilty of having attended enough public meetings and seen the people that want to come talk that sometimes I'm happy there's not a lot of public comment, but the having the right crowd would be good.
It was kind of nice having people in the audience, even when it was like the spouses of our members.
Yeah, and then one of the other questions I've always had too is where we post when we're recruiting, where, you know, the diversity of how we advertise it. Again, a PR issue.
Is it
not just
on
like how we're recruiting, but what we put out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're muted, Alice.
Sorry, we do a press release that goes out from the county. And then also, obviously on the website, but also, Eric usually puts things out on social media as well. And I'm trying to think, I think that is primarily where we're at. And then we're looking at hopefully targeting some of the more diverse, groups that, and organizations that are out there, to try and create a connection with them to be able to, do more, with them and be able to, establish some relationships so that they get the information out to their groups and diverse and, disperse it to them, as well as, suggesting whether or not there's anything that they want to do.
Okay.
Also, I wondered, knowing that the two, you know, non-English speaking, populations in Clark County being Russian and Spanish, do we put it out in anything other than English?
I am not sure, to tell you the truth. That was one of my requests last year, was that it would go out into the four languages. I don't know. I had not heard back from the communications team. And since then, there had left for the director, the division manager left, and the other one that was interim was just recently hired right before she went on maternity leave. And she'll be back at the end of the summer, first of the fall. So about the time that we want to go live. So that's why I'm hoping to actually try to have some other things in place on what we can do and how we can access more resources.
Having done this in past lives in any way, trying to get volunteers of a from multiple places in a community, it's not an easy thing to do if you do it remotely. If you have to do some signs and printed material, we are our own best recruiters. And if each of us would look for people of varying backgrounds and invited them, we might find that all of a sudden we have a far more diverse organization. And because you want to find people that are interested in what you're doing. You can't just get a body. You have to find somebody that has an interest and hopefully even a bit of background to make things, to understand what the process that we go through and what the county's going through and each of these municipalities is going through. We are our own best recruiters.
I think that's a very good point, Roger. I think also to the impact you make, talking to somebody resonates in their mind a lot more, especially this day and age. I don't know how many things I see and read throughout the course of the day that just kind of fly by.
Right. Exactly.
So I'd like to wrap this up with, if I could get a sentence or two from the group individually, you can email. A suggestion for engagement or recruitment. So you don't have to do it now because please put it on your to-do list and send it our way. So
you can quote Rogers. I did write down, we are our own best recruiters. Yeah. There's one.
Oh, that's yours, Brendan? Okay.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Just some ideas if you could brainstorm. Since we don't have a whiteboard here. Why can you go around and make people unmute? Jeff.
Yeah, quick question for Alice. Brendan had mentioned English, Spanish, and Russian, and you mentioned four languages. What is the fourth that you're thinking of?
Probably Vietnamese, I'm thinking.
Vietnamese is one, and then the other is... Oh, my gosh. Why can I not... Tagalog.
Philippines?
Mm-mm. No, it's...
Filipino. No.
It is a island. There are two islands, and we actually have the largest population outside of this island in the world, going up and down the I-5 corridor, particularly in Southwest Washington and Portland. End up into Seattle. What is the name? I used to have to recruit for this all the time when I was the interpreter coordinator. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts.
That's okay.
Right. I'll think of it and I'll like blurt it out going.
Wake
it's
up
right
and
there.
Sleep with it.
It's one of those things that everybody says it wrong. And so that's why, I'm thinking of
it. Try to Google it.
Alice, is it Chuuk? Are you thinking about Chuuk?
Chuukies. It's Chuukies.
Yeah.
Because there's Chuukies from the island of Chuuk, and then there's Truukies from the island of Truuk. Chuukese.
Where is that island?
In the ocean.
I'm just the wrong guy.
In the Pacific?
Oh, Micronesia. Micronesia.
Yeah, Micronesia.
Okay.
And we have a very large population, the largest outside of the island of Chuuk and Truuk.
Well, thank you for that education piece today. Okay. Not knowing that. All right. Well, one more time, Marie. So your homework assignment for all of us to send a sentence or two for recruitment and engagement. Thoughts on that?
Ideas. Yeah, we'll do that. Brainstorm for the group.
How many new bodies do we need on the commission?
It depends on how many put in their notice to give up their seat. There's three that every year that potentially could come open.
Okay.
And next year's, I took it off.
Yeah, me and Michelle, I think it's time.
You, Michelle, and Matt then are the three that would be open. And usually I give a reminder in the September meeting, and according to the bylaws, you have until the end of, you send a letter of interest by September 30th of whether or not you would like to continue or not, whether you're going to be resigning. And then we know then what we're recruiting for.
If you're okay with me moving on, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was say the next item up, we got partnerships, proposed action plan. Sorry, I'm not sure who to call on for this one right now.
This is Jeff. I'll speak for that. I think I mentioned last time that we had met several meetings earlier in the year with Justin and Eric talking about what existing partnerships we do have, and also maybe potential benefit for partnerships elsewhere within clean water. And we were kind of honing in on a few internal partnership ideas. So we're getting close to some final language with that. I think we'll probably finalize that in our next working group meeting. And we had hoped to kind of run it by Justin ahead of time, but now that he's out, I think we kind of need to discuss what we want to do with that. But anyway, just as a general update, we did meet on June 5th and then a partial group meeting yesterday on July 5th to discuss the findings from earlier in the year and develop these proposals to address the results of those findings. So our recent work has been to define and encourage new partnerships in three different areas. And I'm just going to give top-level bullets now since we don't have the details and language fully developed yet. We're a couple inches away, so maybe at the next meeting. But the three ideas that we have for internal partnerships are, the first one is a partnership that will improve the capital planning process. The second is looking at partnerships that will improve the watershed-based life cycle stormwater management. And the third would be partnerships that will apply the DEI principles and goals to clean water. So those are kind of the three top level things that we're looking at in terms of possibly developing new partnerships for.
Jeff, could you repeat the third? Or the second with the watershed life cycle?
Partnerships that will improve watershed-based life cycle stormwater management. So basically looking at partnerships that go all the way through the entire life cycle, not just at the end when we're ready for stormwater.
I see where you're talking from. Okay, that's cool. That really is cool.
So I'm hoping, you know, the next meeting, like I said, we're just within a few inches of maybe finalizing the language that we're wanting to present. I think probably at our next meeting later this month, we'll hopefully get that finalized.
Jeff, when you get ready to present that, would you make sure that you include some examples of existing organizations that you're talking about? So we certainly understand where you're thinking.
I'll make a note of that. We'll definitely discuss that and try to include that.
Cool.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jeff. Moving to research. Josh, I'm gonna pass it to you. I can fill in on the creek naming meeting too.
Okay. Thanks, Brendan. We have not gotten together and met since our last meeting in May, and that is mainly, I think, my fault for falling down on the job here. So we did put together kind of a scoping document, so I'm going to take another look at that, and then I'll reach out to you, Brendan, and to you, Bob, and we'll set up another time to meet. I'll reach out by email. I don't know about the two of you. There is summer travel coming up, so I'm going to be around some of the time. And gone others, but I'll go ahead and reach out to the two of you with the edited scoping document here pretty shortly, and then we'll set up a time to get together and figure out what exact projects we want to kick off.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you. And I can just update, I've also been very busy, so there hasn't been, a whole lot of movement on this since I had the last meeting with the rest of the group that's been engaged on the creek naming for China Ditch and Shanghai Creek. Did end up meeting with that team again, and that really what came out of the meeting that was good was a suggestion to put together a Google document of all the various components that we've kind of outlined and structured so far with that. And then the other individuals that are involved are kind of taking on parts of it. So that'll be nice because I think it'll really give some different pieces of momentum, and it'll also be nice because people can work on things without waiting for me to get back around to them. So I think that is going in a good direction. Justin had made some connections before he left that kind of I'll need to follow up on connecting us with some other members at the county and parks about potential future interpretive sites. That's kind of like an end goal thing. There was conversation about looking at grants, community engagement with the schools in the area and the neighborhood association. So engagement with the historians, the historical team. They were going to do a student group on it. So there was a lot in the last meeting happening with it. And really where the momentum right now is to dig into the research, develop the story more, see what other partnerships and even potential funding can follow up. And then as we engage the community and kind of tell that historical story, look at what opportunities there is for potential interpretive sites and kind of presenting that to the community at large. And through that process, I think the creek renaming is going to happen in that. So the idea is we're going to start kind of submitting and putting together. And so it's been great just engaging the different folks in the community that are interested in it. I'm going to be giving a presentation to the historical, Allison can correct me on the correct title, but the historical
preservation committee.
Which meets the first of each month?
The first Wednesday of each month.
When we used to meet in person, they were the ones that in always the room took right down the hall that took our room from us. So I'll be giving a presentation to them about a little bit of background on this and what we've been doing so far with it. I knew I threw out a lot of information and flew by that really quickly because I didn't want to make it too long-winded. So any questions that folks have, I'm happy to answer about it.
Got one.
Yeah.
Has there been any talk about preserving the names? Because what happens is when you drop that name, what happens is the history gets lost. And if you have the name and you have a monument or something that actually explains why it's called the China Ditch, and links to maybe its history, it's not forgotten. And you don't forget why it was called the China Ditch. Because yeah. that's a real important part of what happened in the history of this country. You know, it's really, I mean, I taught, history for a while. And it's very, very important that people remember those stories and not forget them.
That is exactly right. And that has been a part of the conversation that was happening. I think that early on there was, you know, I mean, everybody came together with like, oh, it's the Creek naming project, right? So the motive is like, oh, we're going to come up with a new name here. And I think it pretty quickly became evident to exactly what you're talking about, that what is most important is that the story is told. And if you just change the names, the worst case scenario is change the names and don't tell the story. Yeah. And then it's completely forgotten and gone. So I think that there was a consensus that if a good name came up that the group felt like, hey, here's a name that we want to go for and advocate for one or both of these creeks, but it could happen in tandem with an interpretive site and all this information that highlights that and tells the story, okay. But there's also a consensus that if the name stays the same and there's an interpretive site and there's information being presented to the community, then that's also fine because it's really that story, just as you're mentioning, to remember that history. You know, we didn't want to whitewash it. We don't want to change it just to make everybody feel more comfortable and telling the story. And then I know this piece that Hong Shen, who ended up providing for me, this was the Oregon Historical Society's piece on that they did on the Chinese diaspora in Oregon. And there's multiple additions in here. First of all, one thing I will say, I was very impressed to find out that a lot of the individuals that had come to the table at first, I thought were just interested, concerned citizens that were sitting down at the conversation. And when I was sent this edition and read through it and realized how many of the contributions to this were coming from people that were at the table, the level of investment and knowledge from those involved in this group was great to see. But the kind of the theme in this that they're talking about is not forgetting that history, and also how the history has already been told in a way that presents the development of the West in the area where we live is, you know, we're familiar with Native Americans and then Europeans show up. And then like in the background, there's other immigrant populations, and the Chinese immigrant population in Oregon and Washington gets written into that narrative as if like unskilled workers show up and end up digging ditches and helping build mines and roads, when these are skilled, knowledgeable individuals that immigrated at the exact same time of European immigrants and built the community and were involved in that. And telling the story in that way that really shows that, you know, this is part of the community that developed the community we all have today. And so I think that the group that's involved do good service to it and help me kind of refocus. Cause as you know, my initial part was just like, why do we still have China Ditch in Clark County?
Yeah.
But a lot of good stuff's come from it. So I need to sit down and get that next step going for the rest of the group to be involved. And I think some really good stuff's going to come out of it. It's been kind of slow moving right now, but I can see the momentum behind it is looking good.
Yeah. That those stories are repeated throughout the West. They're seeing kinds of stories from Montana all over Washington. I mean, those stories are there. And they really make history so alive when we say, oh yeah, that happened. Ah. So keeping those stories alive has got to be part of this whole process.
Yeah. No, it's been really fun. My major in college was actually history, and I veered way off course from my professional life. So it's been fun coming back to it.
Yeah.
All right. The next piece was any unfinished business action items, which included the DEI topic, which I know we already discussed some this evening. So I don't know if there's anything else we wanted to say on that. It seems like we kind of got some of that incorporated in stuff we're working on right now. And so lastly, is any new business or roundtable general discussion?
So, Bob, what are you doing? We'll go around the table.
I'm still trying to put together some background information, almost as much to edify myself as anything else, and figure out if I can figure out who all the players in the county really are.
I suggest when Eric has one of his Stormwater Partners meetings to hop on there if you can. There's quite a few groups that are involved in that, and you can listen and hear what other people are doing.
Appreciate that idea.
I think in November.
I've always thought it'd be nice to build a, we could do this electronically, but the equivalent of like a crime scene board with all of the various entities all over the county doing stuff. It's always amazed me over the years how many different people are involved with stuff. And it's like, have you heard about this person doing this thing over here? And it's,
yeah. Well, I went to Naturescaping, had a class on the clean water upstream, which was the surf riders, which I was talking to Matt last time we had our meeting. You know, yes, they're ocean based, but they also want to do everything upstream, and it was from gardening cleanly and picking up the trash, and you know, I had never heard of them before. But and then the Camas Library actually has all their recordings of all these classes and stuff, so that's another good resource for seeing what's going on. I can send a link if people want to see that.
Appreciate that.
I agree. That'd be great. Andrew, what do you have going on?
I am currently learning all about NPDES permits as part of my job.
as a project manager for a large construction project, the realization that I needed one of these permits for the contractor, and just learning about that process. So it's been kind of interesting. That's between that and trying to remedy the soggy field outside my house here. Apparently there was some work done on a neighboring property that prevented the water from flowing off the field as it normally does into the little creek that's at the north end of the property. So it's been kind of an interesting study in how water flows throughout the this 8 acres and navigates. So addressing some of those issues.
Jeff, how about you?
Well, school's out, so I got a little time off, but I'm looking at going back full-time possibly next month working on a teacher's license. Haven't made a commitment to that yet, but I've at least applied. Other than that, I'm trying to pick up as many cigarette butts in the roads as I can when I'm out walking. Been out inspecting Tree of Heaven and Poison Hemlock lately. And let's see. I guess we've got some litter patrols and some urban forestry events coming up that I'll be involved with. Oh, speaking of litter, just one observation. I know walking around this morning, just looking at my property and the surrounding area, I know a lot of the fireworks typically come in cardboard and paper wraps. I was shocked to see how many of the bottle rockets now have single-use plastic parts in them that are now everywhere, that are going to be flushing into our water system. That's it.
Oh, the usual stuff, spending as much time on the water as possible. So some of you know me, that's several times a week. But just to reinforce what Jeff said, just the amount of trash left along waterways is just absolutely appalling. So much so that last week I actually had to take a picture of a trash pile I saw at a popular salmon fishing hole and show my wife, because I just wouldn't be able to describe the amount of trash. So seeing that on a weekly basis is just, on a daily basis is heartbreaking. So trying to think of remedies for that, for people who regularly use these waterways to, I just don't know what they think. If you just throw it on the ground, who's going to come pick it up, because the next high water event we get flushes it all downstream.
I will say the last two times I've given the presentation to the council, Councillor Medgivi has brought up trash. He is not a fan of it and seen it in the waterways either. So we definitely have support there for any solutions.
Yeah, I mean, every time I go out, I probably bring home, yards and yards of just fishing line, but it's, I don't know what to do about it. I know some states have passed laws where if you get caught littering, you'll lose, you know, your angling license for a set amount of time, but, you know, realistically, there aren't the resources to enforce those things. But yeah, just lots of fishing line, empty bait packets, cigarette butts, and beer cans.
And think of cigarette butts as plastic, because the filters are plastic fibers.
They don't go down. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we do have a couple nonprofits that focus on some of that on the beaches. I know the Watershed Alliance is big on Frenchman's Bar Park and Marine Park and sometimes Wintler Park, but you know, a 2-hour event once a month, summer only, it makes such a small dent.
Yeah.
It's more of an educational thing for the volunteers that come out. It's not really meant to solve a bigger problem. But that's about all we have going on.
Yeah, and I know, and I mentioned it, boy, it's probably been over a year, a very small, I think a nonprofit of one in Cowlitz County, River Junkies, who he was an avid angler, just got sick of it. I think the story is so sick of it at the point where he caught a salmon, and once he got to shore, there was a hypodermic needle sticking out of the salmon, decided to take it upon himself to organize events in Cowlitz County. To clean up rivers with volunteers. And, I know he's been featured a couple of times on some local, angling shows. But I really, you know, just as part of the movement, really like to expand on some of that. As Marie mentioned, you know, for the surf riders, it, if you leave it on the shore, it ends up somewhere. It doesn't go away. Well, I guess it does. It goes away from the shore eventually. It goes downstream. There is the problem.
Yeah, I know at least in Vancouver, if you find a pile of something or a dump or something hazardous like needles, there is a department called Talking Trash. They've got an email at the city address, and they can't see what's going on, so they're relying on people to report these things. But if you see something within Vancouver city limits, I know that they would appreciate an email, and they're pretty responsive at getting out there and taking care of some of this stuff. I get real concerned if I see things along our waterways.
Mm-hmm.
And try and get them on top of those as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, while you're all out there, don't forget to take pictures for the annual report. Good and bad. Sure.
Good reminder.
Good, bad, and different.
Then, Alice, I'll save the picture of the trash pile, although technically this one was in Cowlitz County, so I'm not, you know.
Okay.
It was on the other side of the river, but.
And one of the things, just an off note, there is an organization, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it is, because they came to, I'm the chair of the Cowlitz Parks Board. And they came and did a presentation for our commission, and they actually create repositories for fishermen and other people to put their spare line, all the snags and all the line that they find or extra stuff that's just like, you know, the rat's nests and bird nests of line. And it's in these big, like, 6-inch tubes. And they leave them and they create them in, at different docks and different things like that, you know, so that, and, at boat launches, and then they come through and get it. And then it's part of a recycling project that they then take the line and recycle it and are able to use it in other ways. And I know it was one of the things that some of our local Boy Scouts were looking at doing, because it's actually pretty effective and pretty efficient.
Well, here's the problem with those, Alice. I mean, it's double-edged sword. I mean, it's good that they're out there, absolutely. The problem that I see with them is that they quickly become choked up with trash. And just the way they're designed, it doesn't mean they're full of trash. It's somebody tried to jam something down this 90-degree angle, and at least that piece of trash is no longer on the floor, but now this thing is all blocked up. And I see that probably nine times out of 10. So my pockets just end up being full of fishing line. So good, definitely good in theory, but even the big signs on them that say this is not trash, this is, yeah, I don't know.
I get it.
But I appreciate you bringing it up. I mean, we do, at the end of the day, I'd say we need more of them. At least it gets a piece of trash off the waterway, even if that's not what it's designed for. And I have noticed more of those in Cowlitz County than Clark County. So.
I don't want to cut off the roundtable conversation for those who want to continue, but also want to be respectful. If anybody wants to depart, I can formally adjourn the meeting, and we can shut off the recording at this point. So, not hearing any other further comments, I will formally adjourn the meeting now, so you can shut it down and then.
Okay.
Anybody wants to leave or stay on?
We need to get Sandra to her ball game.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so 8:05.
Good night, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.
The seventh inning stretch. Have a good evening, everyone.
Brent, nice meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent.